Matthew 6 and 24. As you're turning there, just turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, tell them they're getting older and gaining weight. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach about people that are offended, so I wanted to give you a chance. Not really. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24. Appreciate those of you that prayed for us while we were away at the minister's meeting, and those of you that came up to us today, God bless you for that. I certainly appreciate your prayers. Appreciate the work of God that Brother Holden, Brother Tracy Holden, Brother Joey Hyde are doing in that regard, in that meeting, and said this was their, it's not what they want it to be yet, but it's growing, and so we give the Lord praise for that. And this was their sixth year, and we just thank God for what was accomplished in that meeting. Heard a lot of great, great preaching. Brother Steve Moore and Brother David Brock and Brother Bill Parks are just phenomenal preachers, and so it was a joy to get preached to and to hear the Word of God. Amen. I never get tired of hearing the Word of the Lord or hearing about Jesus or being reminded of the good things of God. We are a blessed, blessed people. Amen. You believe that? Amen. You feel like you're blessed and highly favored? I do. Amen. Matthew 6 and 24, the Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." May the Lord bless you today as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. As Jesus unfolds this first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, we find the division in Matthew chapter number 6, that he gives us, the beginning of the chapter, a threefold cord of giving, of praying, and fasting. And you want to serve God and you want to be victorious for the Lord, read about giving, fasting, and praying, that threefold cord that will not be broken. And so the Lord begins to explain to his disciples on how to develop a relationship and live victorious in this world. And then in verse number 19, he begins to talk to us and differentiate that there are two different ways to live our lives. He begins to talk about treasures. The Bible says that he says there are treasures upon the earth, and then there are treasures in heaven. So as he begins to unfold this discourse, he begins to show us that there are two paths, two choices, two locations, two different ways to live your life. The first one is to base our life to where we have treasures upon this earth. And then he begins to talk about treasures in heaven. He unfolds the discourse a little bit more, and then he begins to talk about light and darkness. That the same people that choose to have treasures upon this earth are the same folks that will walk in darkness. But the same folks that build their treasures in heaven are people that walk in light. So there's treasures in heaven and treasures in earth. There is light and then there is darkness. And he's beginning to teach to you and me that he is the Messiah and that we have to make a choice. That he really came with a sword to divide men. That you have to be make a choice and you're either saved or you're lost. You're either a servant of God or you're a servant of the world. You're either of light or you're of darkness. You're either choosing riches in heaven or you're choosing riches in this earth, and there is no middle ground. And to kind of wrap our minds around it, he begins to tell us and talk about heaven and the world, heaven and mammon, serving God and mammon, God and the world. So what I want to preach to you about today is five things that the world cannot do. Five things that the world cannot do. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other,
or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. But Jesus said, ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the world at the same time. I don't know about you, but I am certainly glad I made my choice to serve God. And I'm glad to know today that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. But you say, what can't the world do? Well, the first thing is very simple, and it's found in John 14:6. The first thing the world cannot do, they cannot get to God without Jesus Christ. For in John 14:6, Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. The first thing the world cannot do is the world cannot get to God without Jesus Christ. There are many that are trying in the day and the hour in which we live. They are either choosing a different God or they are trying to redefine the God that we serve. They are either just rejecting Jesus or they are trying to make him so general that he can fit in with any other God whatsoever. But can I preach to you this morning? Jesus preached an exclusive way to the Father. He made no mistakes about it when he said that there is no man that can get to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12 says, there is not another name whereby men must be saved. I'm glad for the name of Jesus Christ today. Amen. And I know this is something we all understand, but in the world in which we live, let us push back and let us always remember that there is only one way to be saved. There is only one way to the Father, and it is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It was Moses that said that you've got to choose. That choose you this day. You've got to draw a line in the sand, Joshua said. And he said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen. It was P.H. Clendenin, after pastoring many, many years, and talking about why he could not get his church to come to prayer meeting, that said he come to the conclusion that most of them were not even saved. He said because they did not have the nature of Christ, they had the nature of this world. Can I preach to you this morning that if we have a nature of this world, that if we're carnally inclined and we're tied to the worldly thinking and the carnal elements of this world, there's a good chance that we've not been born again into the kingdom of God. Amen. If you're carnal in your thinking and carnal in your service toward God, and you're more at home in serving this world, if the pool of the world is greater than the pool of heaven, hear me, friend, this morning, that there's a good chance that you have the nature of this world and not the nature of Jesus Christ. But I'm glad this morning the Bible reminds us that when we come to God, old things are passed away. I said old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Can I preach a little old-fashioned theology this morning? That when we come to Christ, I don't believe we're just better people. I don't believe we'll just be better dads and better men. Amen. But I believe the old man is crucified. Amen. I believe we're raised in the newness of life. I believe we're raised in the newness of walking in the image of Jesus Christ. And we're not just better people, but we're new people. I said we're new people. The old man and the bad spirits of this world, they've got to be nailed to the cross. They've got to be crucified. Paul said, I am dead in Christ, but nevertheless I live. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. I said it's Jesus Christ that is alive in me. And many folks and the problems and the struggles they have is simply the nature of this world is still alive in their mind and still alive alive in their heart. But God, help us today. I say, God, bathe us in the ruby red blood of Jesus. Let me hide myself under the shadow of Jesus' cross. And as he was nailed and his blood streamed down his side and he lowered his head and he gave up the ghost, friend, it was not for his sins, but it was for me and you. It was for all of us here this morning. And there was none born righteous, no, not one. But oh, thank God I found a way to God. I said, the God that created this world, a God that is so glorious, a God that spans eternity, a God that I could never approach, a God that was so holy, he could not look down upon my sin. I found a mediator. I found one that was an advocate. I said, I found one that pleaded my case with the Heavenly Father, and his blood washed me clean, and I have found a way to God. And oh, hallelujah, this morning his name is Jesus. I say his name is Jesus. Anybody believe there's only one true and living God? I do. I said, I believe that there's only one true and living God. And I said, the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob and the God of Isaac. I said, he only had one son and his name was Jesus. And he lived a sinless life. He died an atoning death. He was raised a justifying resurrection. And this morning I believe that we are the children of God. I believe today that if the blood is applied, that we have access into the presence of God. And in a day of political correctness, in a day where the Catholics and the Mormons and the Pentecostals are sharing the stage together, I'm going to tell you, friend, it's not the way that it should be. I said, it's not the way that it should be. I said, I'm talking greater than politics. I'm talking far superior to that. Amen. I see a danger. I said, they're redefining the name of Jesus Christ. They're redefining who he was, making him almost to be an ecumenical prophet, that he accepted anybody that claimed his name. But his word said, if you take my name, then depart from iniquity. Everybody that nameth the name of Jesus Christ, let them come out and be separate and say, take, touch not the unclean thing. Hallelujah. The first thing the world will never be able to do, that is, they'll never be able to get to God without going through Jesus Christ. The second thing they could not do, they could not take the life of Christ. In John 10 and 18, Jesus said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Amen. The second thing I want to remind you, amen, yes, he was crucified on Calvary, but it was his choice. I said it was his decision. He volunteered his will in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yes, they drove spikes in his hands. And yes, they drove spikes in his feet. And yes, they drove a spear in his side. And they plaited thorns upon his head. But it was for one reason, that God so loved his world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If Jesus would have beckoned the angels, I said legions, every angel, can I preach my imagination right now, every angel that was in the choir when Jesus came into this world as Mary's little babe of Bethlehem, and lined the skies with the stars and sang glory to God in the highest, every last one of those angels, they stood on guard at the balconies of heaven as the Prince of Peace lowered his head and he shed his blood. They would have been glad to pull out their spear and to do damage to the Roman army. They would have been glad to defend the name of Jesus Christ. But Jesus knew, I came for one reason. I came to shed blood. Amen. Oh yes, he made the deaf to talk. Oh, and the deaf to hear, and the dumb to talk, and the blind to see. Yes. Oh yes, he did. He took a little boy's lunch. He multiplied it and fed thousands. thousands. Yes, he did. He spoke in such a way that even the critics said, there's never been a man speak like this man. Oh yes, he preached just far superior than anything I can comprehend. But friend, that's not why he came. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and they did not take his life. But he said in John 10, I lay it down. But can I tell you the rest of the verse? He said, because if I lay it down, I have power to take it up again. I said, I have power to take it up again. And on Easter morning, they might have put him in a borrowed tomb. But friend, he did not stay there. But on that Easter morning, when the sun peered over the horizon, and the rays of the sun penetrated an empty tomb, it was Jesus Christ that met his disciples. It was Jesus Christ that met Mary and said, I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hell. And I got news in this world. They want to claim Buddha is God. I said, Buddha might have claimed to be God, but when Buddha died, he stayed dead, and he's still buried. Stalin and Hitler, they wanted to be like God and control the world, but when death grabbed hold of them, they put them in the ground, and they're dead today. I said, Hare Krishna is dead, and Muhammad is dead, but me and you this morning, the God that we serve, he allowed himself to be crucified and stretched out on a cross, and to shed innocent, pure, spotless, sovereign, undefiled blood, because me and you, we were headed to hell, and we needed a Savior. And oh, thanks be unto God this morning, it's through the blood. I say it's through the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't cower down about it. I say it's Jesus. If they make fun of us, so what? It's Jesus. If they don't like it, so what? It's Jesus. But I was lost. I was undone. But I nailed at an altar, and the blood of Jesus came down, and I got up a new creature. I got up with my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anybody glad this morning? I said, anybody glad you're a changed creature? Anybody glad you're a new creature? Anybody glad you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great God of heaven? I say, Jehovah is my God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't we just take 30 seconds and give him the best praise that we've got? Hallelujah. 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 Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The third thing the world cannot do, and you can be seated, the third thing the world cannot do, it's the same thing. Some of you have a confused look on your face this morning. 1 Corinthians 2:11, the things of God knoweth no man. The world cannot understand the things of God. I said the world cannot understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The world doesn't understand why you'd rather be in church on a Sunday morning than out at the lake or on the golf course. They don't understand. I said they don't understand. They just cannot comprehend what's going on in your life. The world cannot comprehend. End it. I read this morning when Jesus turned the water into wine, something that leaped out to me that had never touched me before. When the water became wine, nobody knew it, but the Bible parenthetically said the servants knew. But the servants knew. But the servants knew. The king didn't understand, the governor didn't understand, the rulers didn't understand, but those that were serving Christ, those that had watched him walk by, they understood. I believe the church, we ought to understand this hour what God is trying to do. Anybody glad for what Christ is doing? Hallelujah. 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 Then why is it harder to get people to evangelize? Then why is it harder to get people to come to church? Why is it harder to get people to give in an offering? Why is it? Some of you worried about dinner. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. Can I tell you this morning, I have no idea where I'm eating lunch. I have no idea. I'll figure it out after church. I could care less. And if you shout till 2 o'clock, I'd rather do that anyway. I said, I'd rather do that anyway. Oh, you can see. I said, you can see when you dismiss who's real. I mean, they almost stumble over each other trying to get out because I got to go eat. Oh, God, take us back to the day when we'd rather know more about the Spirit of God. I'd rather know more about the things of God than I know right now. Anybody want to know Him better? Anybody want to know more about His Spirit? Anybody want to know more about the presence of God? I do. Well, there's five things and I've covered three, but the fourth is this. The world cannot pluck the believer out of the hands of Christ. For in John 10 and 28, He said no man is able to pluck them out. The fourth thing the world cannot do. The world cannot pluck you out of the hand of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I say we're secure. I say there's peace. I say there's liberty. I say there's joy. No man can pluck us out. And number five, the world cannot rob our joy. For in John 16 and 22, your joy, somebody say your joy, no man, say no man taketh from you. I say I've got the joy of the Lord, and no man taketh. Oh, hallelujah. This morning, anybody have joy? I say it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. I was praying for Sister Shipes this morning. Amen. But I was driving, coming to church. Amen. Come here, Sister Shipes. It's a little bit before 8. I thought, Lord, help her this morning. Amen. No man can take her joy. Let her have joy knowing that she'll see Jerry again. And I got here a little before 8, but the little blue car was already here. I said the little blue car was already here. I said, God, you've already showed up. I say you already restored her joy. You've already helped her. I say, God, you're a good God. You're a God of comfort and you're a God of strength. You're a God in the midst of adversity. We can still worship you. We can still praise you. We can still honor you. The joy of the Lord, it is my strength. Anybody got joy this morning? Why don't we stand up to our feet and lift our hands toward heaven and wave our hands and say, Lord, I've got joy.